Turn your Bibles today to the book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, which of course is no surprise. This is Easter Sunday. And we certainly expect to hear a message on Sunday, Easter Sunday, on the resurrection of the Lord. This morning we're simply calling this message the rising of the sun, S-O-N, the rising of the sun. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 11, let me now begin to read. The Bible said, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." An old country boy in Virginia called it sepulchre. Verse number 12, "And seeth two angels." By the way, I eventually get it all read. My sister-in-law calls Appomattox Apoxmatox. It's easy to botch up the word sometime. "Seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Thank God for had lain. "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Notice the angels speak to Mary. But at this point of time, it really doesn't register. The words of the angels actually do not jar Mary's attention. They do not get her attention. She still is in a state of unbelief. At this point in angels, imagine now, if angels spoke to you, if they spoke to me, wouldn't that be sufficient to get our attention? Well, at this point, it did not get her attention. Let me keep reading. "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And this was where it happened. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary," calls her by name. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." The actual thought here, Bible students tell us, is that Mary was clinging to her Lord. She was so thrilled that now she has found him. She's clinging to him. And the thought could possibly be, "Stop clinging to me, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we rejoice today in what we've read. We rejoice today in what this day commemorates, what this day is all about. We thank you this morning for another wonderful time to have a church service on Easter Sunday. We thank you, Heavenly Father, today that the sun has risen. Our Father, we rejoice because of what that means, of the victory that resonates. We thank you today for the rising of the sun. Now, Lord, this morning, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. There could very well be someone in this church service that's never made preparation for their day of death. They've never settled it with the Lord. Father, today, may the Holy Spirit of God do his work. Help us this morning as God's people to rejoice, to see the victory we have. And bless the service now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This day started with our sun rising again. We knew the night was over. And as the sun rose, the warmth of the day began to provide comfort for us. You know, this account of Scripture concerns a rising of the sun, spelled S-O-N. It took place on Easter morning. The first person to show up at the sepulchre was a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. Now, in the Bible, there are several Marys mentioned. But this particular woman When you look at her background, when you consider what God had done in her life, it's no wonder that this woman shows up at the sepulcher that day. She was grateful for what Jesus had done for her. It was this woman that Jesus had cast out 7 demons. He had worked a great miracle in her life. And I believe that her gratitude, her love for her Savior, for this one that did such a work upon her heart and life, caused her to be there that day at the tomb. She weeps initially through unbelief, for her tears that flowed from her face, they flowed for the wrong reason. She cries tears because the Lord's body has been taken away. And that's the basis for her tears. It's the Son Himself, the Son of God Himself, who personally appears and calls her by name. And at this point of time, her eyes are opened. Her eyes are open. She had confused Him for being the gardener. We could, of course, take that thought and run with it. We know that He is the gardener. We know that He's the framer of the ages. We know that He's the rock of ages. We know that He's the Son of righteousness. We know that He's the Son of God. We know that He's the risen Lord. We know that He's Jehovah. We know that He's Alpha. We know that He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He also will be the coming King that will come back to this earth in time and will settle earth's problems. Her tears would have been valid if the body had been found. Think about that. Her tears would have been in order if they would have found the body of Jesus Christ. If the body of Jesus Christ was found, we would not be here this morning. We would not be in this service. There would be no reason to have a church service. There would be no reason, because there would be no hope. If the body of Jesus Christ had been found, if we happened to still have a church service, which really there would be no reason for having a church service, we should turn this whole church service this morning into a weeping session. If the body of Jesus Christ had been found. On that first Easter Sunday, Mary witnessed several significant things. She witnessed several things, whether she knew it or not. Of course, Mary, at this point of time, she's not too clear. She's not too discerning. She thinks He's a gardener. She's not really focusing and aware of totally what's going on. But yet, in reality, she was witnessing several things. She was witnessing the fulfillment of prophecy. The Bible says, "Thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." She was witnessing prophecy being fulfilled. She was witnessing the Word of God coming to pass. She was witnessing God doing what He said He would do. And by the way, God's been known to do that, hasn't He? Jesus came to this earth on time. Jesus died on time. Jesus arose on time. And I'll tell you, Jesus is coming back on time. Thank God this morning, He's a God that's on time. He's an on-time God. She witnesses a prophecy. She witnesses a proof. She witnesses a promise. Because of the rising of the Son of God, there will one day be a mighty upheaval, as the saints of God, whose bodies have been placed in the ground, will respond to the Lord's invitation, "Come up hither." Thank God this morning, there's going to one day be a shout. There's going to one day be a trumpet. There's going to one day be the call, the invitation, "Come up hither." And God's people are going out of this mess. All because of Easter Sunday. All because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank God this morning that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And I thank God this morning that He arose again the third day according to Scriptures. The rising of the sun on this first Easter morning was witnessed by one of the Marys in the Scripture, the one that God had worked a miracle. This Mary Magdalene, her story was a story of grace. Her story was a story of redemption. Her story was a story of hopelessness becoming hope. Her story was a story of darkness becoming light. Her story was a story of pity becoming compassion. A few things we'll note about Mary Magdalene. She came early to the sepulcher. That we read and we find out here in this portion of God's Word. She came early to the Scriptures, or to the sepulcher. She came early to where Christ had been laid. She was there before Peter. She was there before others. She came early. I believe that love caused her to linger once she got there. She was wanting to know what happened to the body of her Lord. She had followed his body to the grave. She was the first to learn of the resurrection. She stands at the tomb weeping, but her tears are misplaced, for they resulted from her not finding his body. That's what you call misplaced tears. She cried because she couldn't find his body. I've already addressed that point. She would have had ample reason to cry if she would have found his body. She would have had greater cause to weep. This was really a time, though, when you stop and think about it, this was a time to cut off her tears and to turn on the joy. This was a time to realize that victory had taken place. This was a time to realize that the battle had been won. This was a time to realize that the sin debt had been paid. This was time to realize that God was saying hallelujah, amen, to the fact that Christ successfully paid our sin debt. The old song tells the story of Easter. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justifies freely forever. One day he's coming, oh, glorious day. Oh, that's going to happen. I'll tell you, one of these days, we're going to hear the invitation. One of these days, the Savior is coming back. I'll tell you, you're in a church this morning that believes that the coming of Jesus Christ is going to take place. Because of what happened, because of the fact that Christ was risen, because of the fact that the S-O-N had come up, we know the answer now to two questions. You know what those questions are? Old death, where's thy sting? Old grave, where's thy victory? We know the answer. You know what the answer is to those two great questions? The stinger of death was found in the Lamb of God when he died for our sins. Oh, death, where's thy sting? I know where it's at. The stinger was in Christ. He died in our stead. He took the pain for us. He took the sting for us. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was crucified. He died in our stead. Oh, death, where's thy sting? It's in the person of our substitute. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? I know the answer. The victory of the grave was met with defeat because Jesus conquered the grave. That's the answer. Grave, where's your victory? You don't have any. I'm talking now only to the Christian. If you die without Jesus Christ, the grave is going to have a victory over you because it's going to be terrible for you. I praise God this morning that usually on Easter Sunday we have an exceptionally good attendance. Churches all across America, around this world today, probably have increased attendances because it's Easter Sunday. And it's a good place to be on Easter, is in church. But this morning, I'm more concerned how you go out of here than how you came in. I'm more concerned in what you get while you're here than what you fail to receive. You see, Easter, and I don't have to tell you this, I'm preaching to adults. any more, no more than Christmas is about Santa Claus, Easter is not about the bunny. We know that. We get it, right? I mean, I'm not, you know me, I wouldn't interfere with your egg hunt for nothing. We don't hide eggs anymore in my house, we just pickle them. Just as long as you get them edible, that's fine. But I'm here to say this morning, if you really want the joy and the essence of Easter Sunday, know the risen Lord. Amen. Know today that your sins are under the blood. Know today that the one that came victorious over death, hell and the grave, is your Savior. You need to know that. John Wesley wrote, "Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death is vain, forbid his rise. Christ has opened paradise. Lives again our glorious King, where old death is now thy sting. Once he died our souls to save, where thy victory, O grave?" And I'll tell you, when Jesus arose, the grave took a hit. When Jesus arose, hell took a hit. When Jesus arose, sin took a hit. Of course, he paid the sin debt on the cross. But the resurrection, in a sense, was God's stamp saying it, amen, it really is finished. The capstone of Christian doctrine. That's what the resurrection of Christ is. The capstone puts a cap on it. Capstone of Christian doctrine. Second simple point I would mention this morning is Mary wondered where her Lord had been taken. Verse 13. They say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She failed to realize he had been taken away, but not by human hands. She was confused for a while. Many today are confused. Many today see only the physical, that the tangible things, but not the eternal. Many today look at things, but fail to realize they need to look to God. Many today are looking at temporal and ignoring eternal. Many today are looking for things that are dying, that are corroding, that are rusting, and fail to trust things that have eternal value. Many see a rose today that's blooming, but not the rose of Sharon. Many see the rocks and the stones, but many do not see the rock of ages. Many see the stars in the sky, but not the bright and morning star. Many see the field of wheat, but not the corn of wheat that fell to the ground. Many see the rivers and the streams, but not the fountain filled with blood. Mary saw that the tomb was empty, but not what its emptiness preached. She was more engrossed, more taken up, more burdened, more tearful, because the tomb was empty and she was thinking someone has stolen the body. Whereas she failed to realize, yes, the body had been taken, but it had been taken by the power of God. It had been raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it was taken. It was God taken, not man taken. This scene, by the way, took place in the garden. Took place in the garden. Think about this for just a moment. God had planted another garden one time, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. God planted a garden. In that garden, God placed a man there, and God placed a woman. God called the man Adam. God called the woman Eve. In that garden, something terrible happened. Sin invaded that garden, and death invaded that garden, and death had a victory. But now we come to another garden. We come to a place associated with another garden, and I'm talking about where Jesus arose. We can say that death invaded the first garden, but thank God life invaded this last garden. Where Adam messed things up, thank God the last Adam corrected it. When Adam plunged the whole world into sin, the last Adam provides redemption. That man can go to heaven when they die. Mary awoke when he called her name, though. She heard the angels. It didn't do much for her. She even saw the Savior. At that point of time, her eyes still hadn't totally opened. But I'll tell you, when he said Mary, that's when the light came on. I think of many times in many places of the Bible where we find that God is a personal God who calls people by name. I think about the time that God called Peter. Peter had denied his Lord. But I tell you, Jesus one time spoke to him personally, called his name, Peter, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me? He got his attention. You know, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I'm here to say to all of us today that God's on a first name basis with his people. Here's what thrills my heart. I don't know what the population might be on planet Earth at this point in time, but I know that when God saves a sinner, he calls them by name. He singles one person out of the masses. He saves us on a personal basis. We respond on a personal basis to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. God is not only an on-time God, but God's a personal God who deals with people personally. He spoke to Mary. He said, Mary. There's something about a first name basis that really gets our attention. The Lord personally communicates with his children. She was not convinced by angels, but she sure was convinced when Jesus called her name. I want you to think about this for just a moment. There's an open grave in our cemetery today. For that grave has been opened to allow the entrance of a body. The body to be lowered into that grave today is the body of a friend. He's the body of a preacher. That body to be lowered today is a preacher who was preaching a message when your preacher heard that message and got saved. The one who's to be buried today was preaching a gospel message that calls this old hell-bound sinner over in Virginia to know I was walking the broad path leading to destruction. And God got a hold of my heart. That preacher has been preaching now faithfully for many years. He's my mentor. Billy Martin's one of my mentors. This man's my other mentor. This man led me to Christ. This man is more than a brother-in-law to me. He's a personal friend. I've spent more time with Bill Gimbelsberger than any other person on this earth, if you start counting up time. He and his wife, Carol and I, for over 20 years have gone off on vacations together. I know this man probably as well as anybody apart from his family. Well, today his grave is opened. But you can be assured of something this morning. You can be assured that the same open grave will open another time. But at that time, the body of my friend is coming up, not going down. As the case today. Over 2,000 years ago, the earth shook at Calvary. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. The mighty conqueror defeated death, hell, and the grave. Because he came out of the tomb, the bodies of the saints in our cemetery will come out of the tomb. In that cemetery over there, after today, I'll have a mother-in-law, body of a mother-in-law, body of my father-in-law, body of two brother-in-laws. And on top of that, countless church members that I had come to love just like my brother, just like my sister. Your friends, your family members, your mother, your fathers, your aunts, your uncles, maybe your children, your grandparents, many of them in our church cemetery. I've gotten kind of tired down through the years following hearses, walking to the cemetery, officiating at a service at the cemetery, seeing another precious person, body, go down in the tomb. But I'll tell you today, I have a great deal of hope. I'm lit up with joy because today tells me that that cemetery is a loser. Praise God, this morning we have not seen those saints of God for the last time. We will see them again. And when we see them again, they'll look better and we'll look better. And I'll tell you one thing, none of us will be on crutches. All because of what Jesus did on that first Easter Sunday. You hear all kinds of things that people say about what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. How's the ground going to look? Just like that old preacher, country fellow over the other side of the world, he said if the Lord comes back and we happen to be on the other side of the world, he said we'll go right straight through the earth to get up. You know, in my mind, I can picture when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised. I'd say graveyards everywhere are going to be fractured. Look like they've been run over with a steamroller. That's what I'm thinking. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, when the Lord come out of the tomb, they found the napkin neatly there, grave clothes. And, I mean, he can... You see, here's the point. I don't care how the ground's going to look. I know how I'm going to look. This past week, I went fishing, folks. And I didn't get sick. Went out on a boat. But I'm going to tell you, I'm one of those people, I tell too much. Some of it I should be telling, because really it is none of your business. Down there's the boat, up here's the dock. I got to get on that boat, got to get from point A to point B in order to go out in the ocean. I had a hat on. Well, I took a flying leap. Instead of hitting that boat where I should, I hit a rail and it about knocked me out. And I was going off backwards. And a couple people grabbed me or I'd have gone in the drink. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I could have been a goner. That's pretty bad not to get drowned your hook for the first time. Drowned on, that would be a bad one. I'd hate that to go down. Don't put that on the tombstone. He died before the boat went out. Why did I tell you that? I don't know. It doesn't make a bit of sense. I will tell you this, if I'd have died, you wouldn't have to worry about where I was going. Because Jesus took care of it. Because he arose on Easter Sunday. You know, little boy and a dad. Dad took his boy out one day. Took him out. The dad was going to go shopping. They came to a little park along the way. And the dad told his boy, he said, son, he said, will you just sit on this bench for a while? He said, I got to go shopping. I'll be back and pick you up. He left the little boy there. And the dad goes shopping, but the father forgets about his little boy there on the park bench. So the father goes home, and then it dawns on him he's left his son in the park. So he goes back to the park. He's scared to death, wondering if maybe his little boy has got up and strayed off or someone has grabbed him or whatever. And there sits the little boy just as calm as a cucumber. And the father looked at the son. He said, boy, son, he said, am I glad to see you? And the little boy looked up at his son and said, daddy, he said, you told me to stay here until you came back. And I want to say this morning, we've been waiting over 2,000 years. He's promised to come back. He's coming. He'll return like he said. And it's all because Jesus has risen from the dead. And I'll tell you, on Easter Sunday, we have every right to shout. Glory to God, hallelujah. The tomb is empty. And yes, this one over here, this grave has been opened to lower a body. But because of Easter Sunday, that grave is going to open again. And this way, my friends, coming out of it, like all of the saints of God associated with you and our family that are over here in the cemetery. So this morning, in closing, I've got to tell you, you've got to be saved to have that hope. You've got to be a Christian. You've got to be covered by the blood. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved by the grace of God. You can't make it by religion. You can't make it by the baptism. You can't make it by reformation. You've got to come by the way of the cross. Now, since Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and suffered in our stead, we can't bypass what he did on the cross and expect to go to heaven. You've got to go through him. Or otherwise, the resurrection of Christ will have no value for you at all.